The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
Hello, and welcome to our program today. I'd like to talk to you a little bit today about forgiveness. In the Bible, it tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to rightly divide in the theme of our message today is forgiveness. We're going to find out why there's people on the radios, on the televisions, and in those churches, and why they don't all teach forgiveness quite the same way. We're going to take a biblical look at it, and we're going to let you choose today what pattern and what ceremonies you like to go through to be forgiven. And we're going to find out at the end the conclusion that if we're honest with the Scriptures, we'll find out that there is only one way for today to be forgiven of our sins. If you've got a Bible, find it and open up to the book of Leviticus. And we're going to go through, there's going to be some stories we're going to talk about, and there's going to be some instructions given from God to Moses. We're going to start in the book of Leviticus, chapter 4, and we're going to start down in verse 14. We're going to find out what instructions God gave to Moses to the people of Israel, the Jewish people. And it says in verse 14, "When the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, then bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation." First thing that they find out that there is sin, and they have to do something to correct the sin problem. Verse 15 says, "And the elders of that congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord." As we go through this series of ceremony here, please remember and watch for all the different things that Israel was instructed to do. And we've listed on the board for you 10 different items that is through this passage here. Verse 16 picks up and says, "And the priest that is anointed shall bring the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all of his fat from him and burn it upon the altar." So what we're looking at here is instructions that God has given to Moses on how to get rid of sin. And what we have is it starts out, they first need to know that they have sinned. And now they have to correct that problem. And what they do is they take a bullock, the Bible says, a bull. And what they do to that bull is they first need to kill it. The elders lay their hands upon that bull. And then what they do is the bull has to be killed. And then there has to be an anointed priest that they had in Israel's day. And they had to take, this priest had to take the blood of the bullock to the tabernacle of the congregation, a specific place. And then this anointed priest needed to dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. And then it goes on to say, if you'd look up over here at the board, I've just listed some of the basic things in that thing that I've just told you about. They needed to bring the bull, lay their hands on it, kill it, bring the blood. In the tabernacle, the anointed priest was to sprinkle the blood 7 times, specific number, on, and then there's to place some on the blood of the horn, the blood on the horns of the altar. Then they were to pour out the blood at the foot of the altar, then burn all the fat of that animal. And then it says in verse 20, and he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering, so shall he do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. That sin that they started out, they recognized they were sinners. They had to go through this system of works, and then the Bible says their sins were atoned. It was forgiven them. Their sin was forgiven. Now, this is an instruction God gave to Moses. We need to know why we don't need to go through this system of forgiveness today. The Bible verse we started out was a study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that rightly dividing, if you've never heard of that before, that means that I need to go to the Bible to find out what God wants me to do today. Does God want me to build an ark so that I be saved from a flood? Or does God want me to go ahead and bring bull offerings on an altar for forgiveness of my sins? And if not, why? So that's what we're going to do today. You'll be able to choose which program you think is right. Let's go on to another program. First of all, in order to be forgiven, those Jews were under the law of Moses. They had to recognize they had sinned. They needed to bring the sacrifice, and then they were forgiven. Let's go on now to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on earth in his ministry. He taught, well, let's look at the verses in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is a familiar passage. It has in it what people call the Lord's Prayer. And right after that, well, within that, the context of that, it talks about forgiveness. And it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So what we see here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he was here on earth, he was teaching his apostles something. And what he was teaching them was to forgive men to be forgiven of their sins. The Bible verse says very clearly, but if ye forgive not men their trespass, neither will your Father forgive you your trespass. What the Lord Jesus Christ is doing, he taught the law, and he did not deviate from the law of Moses. He kept the law. And what we see up over here, which was originally given to Israel to do, the Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene years later, and he says, forgive to be forgiven. Now, how can a man do that? The Lord Jesus Christ, he says to keep the law and forgive men their trespasses to be forgiven. Let's look at an example that will help it in our minds. Matthew chapter 18 gives us the example. It's the Lord Jesus Christ talking again, and we'll start reading in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 18. It says there, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Now he's going to give Peter an example, an illustration on what forgiveness really should be in his program. It says in verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Now the story begins. And when he had begun to reckon, one servant was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So here was the king and one servant, and what the servant did was he didn't have the money. He didn't have the 10,000 talents to pay back that he owed. And therefore, the king was going to take his whole family and everything that man owed to make payment, to make restitution for the debt. But the king forgave him because the servant fell down and worshipped him and begged for compassion. And therefore, the king forgave him the debt, just like that. But now that same servant that was forgiven this great debt, it says in verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Boy, does this sound familiar, doesn't it? Verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. What had happened was the man that had been forgiven the great debt had a fellow servant of his own that owed him just a few cents. And what he did is he went to that fellow servant and he took him by the throat. And even though his servant fell down and begged forgiveness the way he did to the king, this man, the servant, would not forgive his fellow servant. So what he did is he cast him into the dungeon. Verse 31, his fellow servants found out about it and they told the king. Verse 32 says this, then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So what had happened was the king went ahead and took that servant that did not forgive his other servant that small debt, and he took him and he cast him into prison to the tormentors. Verse 35, again, is very clear, like in Matthew chapter 6. It says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So what this is telling me, the Lord here is in his ministry on earth, and he's not teaching exactly like Moses is. He's adding something to it. He took that law of Moses with all those systems of things that had to be done, and he says, men, you need now to have the proper heart attitude of forgiveness towards your brother. Otherwise, God Almighty in heaven is not going to forgive you your sins. Now, this here would be quite hard for me to do today. If by chance someone transgressed against me, I have to make sure that I forgive that man unless I get run over by a truck or something that same day, or if I were to drop dead. I need to have total forgiveness and a proper heart attitude towards my brother all the time. And these things here are hard to do. The fellow man did not forgive his brother his trespasses, so he was thrown into torment. The Lord taught men to keep the law of Moses, to have a proper heart attitude of forgiving your brother, to be forgiven. If you remember, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ had no sin. What he did is he followed every point of the law perfectly. And we know that Jesus Christ forgave his fellow man here on earth because what had happened when he was hanging and suffering on the cross of Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So those men that were committing this act of murder and torture and torment and humiliation against our Lord Jesus Christ while he was there suffering for us, he said, Father, forgive them. What Jesus Christ did is he practiced what he preached. He actually forgave those men just as Scripture says, just as the words came out of his own mouth. He said, forgive them, Father. And that was the Lord being perfect and holy and just in the earth on his ministry. One more biblical example. There's two examples we've looked at already. Moses with the ceremony, the Lord Jesus Christ talking about forgiveness of sins, the ceremonies of the law of Moses, plus the proper heart attitude to be forgiven of your sins. The Apostle Paul comes on the scene, and we'll look at Acts chapter 26. Now, don't forget, you're going to need to make a choice on how you want your sins forgiven, on which program. Acts chapter 26, in verse 15. Look at the verses if you've got the Bible in front of you. And it says this in verse 15. It's the Lord Jesus Christ appearing to the Apostle Paul. Here his name is Saul at the time. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee." The Lord Jesus Christ reaches down to Saul and he says, "I will appear unto thee." So what he's telling him, there are going to be revelations directly from the Lord in heaven to this man Saul. In verse 17 it says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. There's a start of his ministry. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Do you see that in your Bible there? Forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. What the Lord Jesus Christ is doing, he's rising up this man named Saul that was attacking was persecuting. Verse 15 says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." This man Saul was against the church. He was against those people who believed in Jesus Christ. And when he was struck down, and when the Lord appeared unto him, the Lord gave this man Saul a message. And it was not until the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary and rose from the dead that this message was given. All other times before, they were following a different program. But the Lord reached down from heaven's glory to tell this man Saul, who will later be called the Apostle Paul, a new message. But he appeared to him and said that he was going to talk to them through the Apostle Paul about forgiveness of sins. And this is what he told Paul that we should know. It's in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. In Romans chapter 3, there is a series of verses in here down around through maybe verse 28. That if I have a problem understanding Bible doctrine, I'll go to these verses to help understand and clarify the very heart of the gospel. And the verses are found here, so we'll go through them. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, the Lord gave this man, Paul, a new message. He says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." The law of Moses, what we looked at earlier, all the ceremony of things to do. The Lord reaches down to Paul and says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest." Verse 22 says, to whom he's speaking. It says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Everybody that's included, all the Jews, the Jewish nation, and those people who were called Gentiles at that time, everybody was included in God's program. It says in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Freely means without work, without payment. So what they did not have to do was they did not have to follow the law anymore. They did not have to forgive to be forgiven, and we'll see a verse that says that. I want to show you and show you clearly so that you can make an understanding, a knowledgeable choice on how you want your sins forgiven, how you think God deals with you today. And there is a proper answer, and we can know. In the book of Hebrews, it says in chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7, in 26, it says this, "For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Talking about Jesus Christ, it says separate from sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible tells me about Jesus Christ, it's that he's separate from sinner. He has no sin. verse 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. There is no more system of works, of rituals, of ceremonies, of offering bulls and animal sacrifices. There is no more of forgiving to be forgiven through even the Lord's ministry. He reached down and changed his commands that he first gave to the nation of Israel. And he reached down to the Apostle Paul later on, years later, and he started something new, something called the mystery. In Hebrews chapter 10, I can prove to you by scriptures why I don't follow this system over here of bringing a bull and killing it on the altar and any kind of animal sacrifice. Because it says in Hebrews 10:4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. That nails it down for me. It tells me in my Bible, and I believe my Bible, it says it's not possible that those sacrifices could take away sin. They did atone for the sin and cover over that sin, but it did not take it away. What did take it away was right here when Jesus Christ made that final sacrifice. And if you know back in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, that we don't have to keep offering sacrifices day after day after day or forgiving people day after day after day, because the Bible tells me this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest in Moses' day standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So that verse there alone, Jesus Christ did not have to go to the cross twice or three times. He went one time and he made a total complete payment for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of everybody that's ever lived. When he died on Calvary, the blood that he shed was full, complete payment for all the sins that ever were on this earth. And the Bible says he only needed to do that one time. Now, I see a system of operations that needed to be done back here. I know now why I don't follow that system over there. I don't follow it because the Bible changed it years later. I know that when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he told men to forgive others. Otherwise, my heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. And I know why the Lord Jesus Christ changed that, because he came to earth and he was a sacrifice himself here. And he put away all of this. All of this was good in its day, in its time, but now it's passed away. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, 32, it says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What we have today under this program, this new program given to Paul, it's called the Gospel of the Grace of God. When the Bible writes, when the Apostle Paul writes, he says, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God today is not pouring out his wrath upon men. He's offering grace and peace and total forgiveness of sins, because he was the total, he was the perfect sacrifice on Calvary. He did away with all sins. His was the final sacrifice. Now, all we need to do is put our faith in what he did. We can't work for our own salvation. The two programs that we've seen, the first with Moses and the system of works, we've seen in the book of Hebrews, says the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins. They atoned for the sins, but they never took them away. And we see in the Lord's day that when he was here on earth, he said, forgive to be forgiven. And we saw the illustration of the man that did not forgive his fellow servant, and his servant, his king, put him into the tormentors so that he was not forgiven. But the Lord Jesus Christ did hold it. He held up the law and he kept it. And when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Lord Jesus Christ was the only person that could ever fully, completely be perfect and sinless. And he was the only spotless, what is called the spotless Lamb of God, that went to Calvary to die for us. He was the perfect sacrifice. The verses in the book of Romans go on to say this in chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now what this is saying, there's a big word in there, it's called propitiation, means satisfaction, that God was satisfied when he saw Jesus Christ hanging there on the cross of Calvary. We don't have to fully understand it, but that was God's justice, his payment for sin. Only Jesus Christ could pay for our sins. And it says, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. All those people that lived in Moses' day that had to do these ceremonies, all the people in the day of Jesus Christ when they had to forgive to be forgiven, the Bible clearly states those verses are true. And now the Bible goes on to say in verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now this tells me something. At this time, something's changed. There's time here. Back in time past, those people were justified by those things that God told them to do at that time. Today, we are justified by believing in Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'd like to read you one verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted, speaking of Jesus Christ, after that ye heard the word of truth, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Won't you take the time right now to place your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary?
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.